Good afternoon, everybody. I would like to go ahead and call this meeting of the House Transportation Committee to order at 1:33 in the PM. Today is March 23rd, 2021. Present with us today is Representative Drummond, Representative Kronk, Vice Chair Hannon, Representative McCabe, and Representative McKay, and myself, Chair Hopkins. Assisting us today is our recording secretary, Lori Rowland, who I believe is the voice in the sky if we need her, and our LIO moderator is Doug Bridges. I'd like to ask those participating remotely to please mute your microphones when you are not actively speaking so that we can get a clear recording of these proceedings for posterity. For those listening at home, all of today's presentations, as well as background information on the nominees for the Board of Marine Pilots, can be found by visiting akleg.gov and finding today's hearing under the Daily Schedule tab. Are there any questions from the committee before we get on to today's business? Seeing none, today we will conduct a nomination hearing for two of the governor's nominees for seats on the Board of Marine Pilots. Following that, we'll hear Senate Joint Resolution 9 by Senator Keel, the companion bill to Rep. Ortiz's H.J.R. 12, which we heard on Saturday. It is the intent of the chair to hear the bill, take public comment, and then look to the will of the committee. Are there any questions about those items? Nope. Okay, so we're going to go ahead and begin with our confirmation hearings for Governor Dunleavy's appointments to the Board of Marine Pilots. For many of you who might be landlocked like myself, the Board of Marine Pilots is housed within the Division of Corporations, Business, and Professional Licensing. Board members, except for the DCCED commissioner, are appointed by the governor and confirmed by the legislature. The Board of Marine Pilots consists of 7 members, 6 appointed by the governor, 2 of those are licensed pilots, 2 are agents or managers of vessels, and 2 more are public members, plus the Department of Commerce, Community and Economic Development commissioner, or their designee. Just want to recognize that Representative Sponholz has joined us at 1:36. Not more than one pilot nor one agent shall be from any one judicial district on this board, and all, of course, must be Alaska residents. With the exception of the commissioner's designee, members are appointed for staggered terms of 4 years. Members shall serve until they are replaced or resign. The board adopts regulations to carry out its mission to provide efficient and competent pilotage service for the protection of shipping, the safety of human life and property, and the protection of the marine environment. It makes final licensing decisions and takes disciplinary action against those who violate the licensing laws. The board meets just 3 times a year. First up, we will be hearing from Luke Hassenbank. Mr. Hassenbank, please correct me if I pronounced your name wrong. Are you online?
Yeah, I am, and you got it pretty dang close.
All right, that works. That's a grier. I understand that problem. Mr. Hassenbank, please put yourself on the record, state your affiliation and the position which you're being nominated for, and give us a brief introductory statement if you want.
Okay, yeah, thank you. Yeah, my name is Luke Hassenbank. I'm currently the president of Alaska Maritime Agencies based here in Anchorage, and we're also known as Cruise Line Agencies of Alaska through our partnership with our colleagues in Southeast Alaska. I'm up for the agent representative. We provide agent vessel agent services that includes the dispatch of marine pilots to a variety of vessels, such as tankers, cruise ships, research, military, and general cargo vessels that operate here in Alaska state waters. I moved here in Alaska in 2003 after graduating from the University of South Dakota with my master's in business administration. And then after I moved up here, I immediately began working for Alaska Maritime Agency. So I've been working here for 18 years on the Alaska waterfront. I've got a good working relationship with specifically the Southwest Alaska Pilot Association and Alaska Marine Pilots. They both work in South Central here, and Alaska Marine Pilots work out in Western Alaska. I've worked on them face to face, working on a variety of vessels, and just in general over other conversations. I've also been a regular attendee to the Board of Marine Pilot meetings for over the past 10 years or so. In addition to my position here at Alaska Maritime, I also serve on the board of directors for the Prince William Sound Regional Citizens Awareness Council, representing Alaska State Chamber of Commerce. And I'm also on the Cook Inlet Harbor Safety Committee as the vessel agent representative on that as well. I think with that, with my background and experience, makes me a good candidate to serve on a board of Marine pilots, and I look forward to serving as the voice of industry while advocating the safe and effective passage of vessels here in Alaska's waters. If anybody has any questions, I'd be glad to take them.
Thank you very much, Mr. Hassenbeck. Are there any questions for the nominee? I don't see any. Mr. Hassenbeck, you've made it out well, Transportation Committee. Thank you for that time, but please stay online, but mute your microphone, so in case there are any additional questions, we can make sure that we get them answered.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Seeing no further questions, thank you. Next up, we will have Richard Harris. Mr. Harris, are you online?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, sir, we can. Thank you very much. Please put yourself on the record, state your affiliation and the position for which the governor has nominated you on the board for the record, and give a brief introductory statement if you so choose.
Okay, my name is Richard, also generally go by Rick Harris. This is my reappointment to the Board of Marine Pilots for a second term. I am one of the two public members on the Board of Marine Pilots. I'm retired from Sea Alaska Corporation, where I was an executive for many, many years. Just a little background, I'm a 43-year resident of Alaska, also an Army veteran with an honorable discharge and rank of sergeant. I have a Bachelor of Science degree in fisheries from the University of Washington. I came to Alaska in 1978 to work with the Southern Southeast Regional Aquaculture Association. In 1980, I was hired by Sea Alaska Corporation, which is the ANCSA Regional Corporation for Southeast Alaska, and I stayed there until my retirement in 2014. Within Sea Alaska, I held many executive positions, and those positions gave me extensive experience in natural resource management, public policy development, both crafting state and federal laws and regulations, budgeting, revenue expense management, and of course, corporate profit and loss. On the Board of Marine Pilots, I'm a public member. I'm not a pilot or a pilot expert, but I do have, through my work at Sea Alaska and also with the Aquaculture Association, the value and the importance of marine pilots. And as a senior executive with Sea Alaska, the marine pilots were a critical part of some of Sea Alaska's timber operations in particular, where we were one of the largest charter of vessels on the West Coast. And each of those vessels had marine pilots on them to help them navigate into some of the most difficult waters in Southeast and to do that very safely. My family also has worked in the cruise industry, both as port agents and ship agents. So I do have knowledge of the cruise ship industry as well as the merchant vessel traffic. I bring to the board a public voice to assure the residents of rigorous control and safe passage of vessels throughout our region. And I also bring to the board knowledge of public concerns about safe passage of vessels and how to address those concerns. And my public policy experience benefits the board in regulatory and budget issues. So I would be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you very much, Mr. Harris, for that opening statement. Do we have any questions for the nominee? I don't hear any, Mr. Harris. You got off easy as well, sir.
I like that.
We do have one question. Yes, sir. Sorry. Representative Sponholz has a question.
All right. Yeah. Through the chair, Mr. Harris, can you tell us why you're interested in serving on this board?
Through the chair, Representative Sponholz. Well, as they say, I'm retired and wanted to do some public service back to the community. And I found my experience with the Marine Pilots and my association with both the cruise industry, the charter cargo industry, and with the Marine Pilots, I felt that was a nice place for me to be able to offer some of my experience and knowledge.
Paula?
Yes, ma'am.
So what are some of the big issues that you've worked on over the last few years?
With the Marine Pilots?
Yep.
Well, Probably the issues that we've worked on recently are foreign pleasure craft, vessels, these large cruise, or they're not cruise ships, but they're large private yachts that come into the region, have requirements for either a pilot on board, or under certain circumstances they can apply for and receive exemptions from having pilots on board, provided that they can prove that they have the requisite knowledge and skilled people on the bridge of their vessels. And so the most recent thing we did is we went through and helped clarify how those pilot pilot waivers work to make it more efficient for both the state and also for the people that are requesting FPC exemption.
All right, thank you.
Any further questions for the nominee? Seeing none, thank you very much, Mr. Harris. At this point, I would like to open public comment on the appointments of Mr. Hassenbank and Mr. Harris to the Board of Marine Pilots. Public testimony is open. I see nobody online, and neither does Doug, so we're going to go ahead and close public comment. If there's no further questions from the committee at this point, Vice Chair Hannon, do you have a motion?
Mr. Chairman, I have a comment before that. I certainly expected the University of South Dakota to be on there to claim that their landlocked university's MBA serves the state of Alaska well in the maritime industry. So since they're not doing that, and I want to note for our committee that basically these two nominees we are catching up with. They're last year's nominees, and there remains a vacancy on the board. And there is a legal constraint about judicial district representation. And so we should be seeing from the governor's office in the near future to catch up with those another Marine pilot designated seat, and they will have to be from not the Southeast Judicial District, and I can't remember, the judicial district maps are a strange configuration. So I just wanted to say that before I made the motion on the two that we have. And with that, I'll make the motion. That in accordance with Alaska Statute 39.05.080, the Transportation Committee has reviewed the qualifications of the governor's appointees and recommends that the following names be forwarded to a joint session for consideration. Lucas Hassenbach and Richard Harris, Board of Marine Pilots. A signature on this report does not reflect an intent by any of the members to vote for or against the confirmation of individuals during any further sessions.
Thank you very much, Vice Chair Hannon. Are there any objections? Seeing none, at this point, we'll go ahead and take a brief at ease to sign the confirmation hearing paperwork. Hearing Senate Joint Resolution 9, our first piece of legislation this year from the other body. With us today is Senator Keel and his aide, Kathy Schlinghide. Senator Keel, please put yourself on the record and present on your legislation.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Jesse Keel. I have the privilege of representing Senate District Q, and with me, of course, as you mentioned, is Kathy Schlinghide of my office. I thank the committee for your patience as I was just in our body's transportation committee. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Senate Joint Resolution number 9 is a call for a life ring. In 2019, Alaska had about 2.25 million tourists. About 1.3 million of those folks came on big ships. Tourism was roughly responsible for give or take $4 billion of economic activity across the state of Alaska. But in 2020, those numbers dropped perilously close to zero. small and medium-sized Alaska businesses and their employees were all put at great risk. In the intervening year, Mr. Chairman, government has done what it could to help. Certainly, there were federal payroll protection program loans, economic injury disaster loans, CARES Act money distributed through the state that helped, pandemic unemployment assistance for workers. But the simple fact is that you put all those things together, and a whole lot of folks who were looking forward to making a living in the 2020 cruise ship season are barely afloat and leveraged to the hilt. If the 2021 numbers look like last year's, there won't be any jobs, and there'll be very few small and medium-sized Alaska businesses in the tourism sector to reopen in 22. Mr. Chairman, this year the risk comes about for a slightly different reason than last. Last year, of course, the pandemic raged. There were no vaccines during the cruise season, and it was very, very difficult to control the spread of the virus. This year, we have a somewhat different challenge. Our neighbors, ever so slightly to the east of us where we sit today, have closed their waters and their ports to large cruise ships. With the Canadian closure, a series of American federal laws have the effect of preventing a large cruise ship season. And I could spend a great deal of the committee's time on that, but I believe you received an explanation just yesterday about the Passenger Vessel Services Act and some of the other federal legislation we're discussing. In effect, Mr. Chairman, U.S. federal law means the big ships either have to start in Canada when they come here or they have to make a stop in Canada. With that not available, SJR 9 asks the federal government for a temporary, and I stress temporary, reprieve, a short-term break from those laws while the pandemic continues and the Canadian waters are closed. It's important, Mr. Chairman, to note that SJR 9 was developed in conjunction with a whole lot of time on the telephone with our congressional delegation in Washington, D.C. All three members of that delegation have introduced legislation that would do what SJR 9 requests. And SJR 9 goes one step further and calls on the executive branch, should that legislation not pass in Congress, to grant the same reprieve, to in effect declare that they will not enforce those laws for, again, the very limited time that we have this issue. Mr. Chairman, the elephant in this room, of course, is the virus itself. And what SJR 9 does not do is ask for any breaks or shortcuts on COVID safety. The United States Centers for Disease Control and Prevention in Atlanta is, not to put too fine a point on it, the gold standard for public health and the safety measures we're discussing. CDC put out a 40-page conditional sale order late last fall that would govern COVID safety for the big ships when they resume their cruises. I think with vaccination rates becoming better and better in America and excellent here in Alaska as we continue to make progress, there are safe ways, COVID-safe ways, for cruising to resume. So, Mr. Chairman, SJR 9 simply asks that that be a decision that Americans can make, that the CDC can make about safety, but that it not be, and again, for a short period, that it not be a decision we are forced into because of Canada's action with regard to their ports and waters. With that, Mr. Chairman, I thank the committee for your time, and I commend the bill. I'm more than happy to take questions.
Thank you very much, Senator Keel, for coming down here and sharing with us that presentation today. I would like to note that in your emails earlier today, my aide, Joe Hardenbrook, sent out a letter from the Fairbanks Chamber of Commerce supporting this effort and this resolution because, as Senator Keel said, it's $4 billion worth of activity statewide, and that certainly makes it all the way up the rail system, north of the Alaska Range, all the way up to Fairbanks and beyond. And it has a huge impact on my hometown and my district as well. So I thank you for bringing this forward, statewide issue for sure, especially as we see more and more tourism up on the slope as well. And it's not just summer, it is year-round, especially when it comes to Fairbanks, but this is dealing with it now. Any questions for Senator Keel? Representative Hannon.
Thank you, Chair Hopkins. Senator, your resolution started out identical to a resolution we heard at the previous meeting from Representative Ortiz. Can you tell me, as it progressed through the Senate, any changes that developed to it where those two resolutions may now differ?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In answer to Representative Hannon's question, the only change we made to SJR 9 as it went through the committee process in the Senate was some clarifying language in the second resolved clause to make clear we were asking the executive branch not to take enforcement actions against ships under the Passenger Vessel Services Act. As it was originally written, it was you could have interpreted it to say we didn't want any enforcement actions against them for anything, and that, of course, would not be the legislature's request.
Thank you.
Certainly. Any other questions for the good senator from Juneau? Representative Cronk.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Keel, obviously this is important to all of Alaska, getting something like this, but let's say we do get this voted on and stuff. When do you think Congress would actually deal with this? I mean, are we looking at getting some ships here this summer?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In answer to Representative Cronk's question, God willing, as soon as possible, but I can't predict Congress, I'm afraid. I have a relatively bad record predicting the actions of your body in the legislature. Mr. Chairman, there was a moment of hope that that these provisions could have been inserted into the American Rescue Act because that was done through the budget reconciliation process. That was not in order. Our congressional delegation is looking for any and every angle. If I may, I'll just say Congressman Young was the first to introduce legislation on this, and it was actually a brilliant piece of legislative drafting. I mean, it's a really elegant solution he introduced, and the our two U.S. senators have functionally copied his approach. Anything they can insert it into would be good, and there are a couple of potential vehicles moving. We remain in contact with our congressional delegation. They continue to work on this. In fact, staff from Senator Sullivan's office was on a call I was on just today before about, I think, around 11 o'clock. Talking with more Alaskans around the state about this, our congressional delegation's efforts. So I don't have a date for you. I wish I did. The lines need to make commercial decisions, and the CDC's conditional sale order, combined with, frankly, what it takes to get ships that big and complex out of their sort of warm storage, that's not the right term, but their partial shutdown mode. It'll take 90 days from the word go for them to get paying passengers on board. Realistically, and I, you know, may not be good political practice, but what the heck. So as not to sell you any snake oil, I see very little chance of ships before mid or late July in an optimistic scenario. That still leaves a couple of months of the cruise season if things go well.
No question. Thank you, though. Okay. I appreciate it. We're definitely, I'm definitely in support of this.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Have other states that are impacted asked for a similar dispensation? Say, Washington, where many of these cruise ships originate.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, in answer to Representative Drummond, we are working with a number of members of Washington State's congressional delegation and some members of the Washington State Legislature. Their legislature has not passed a resolution to my knowledge, but there are a number of Canadian border issues for the Washington delegation, and certainly the Port of Seattle has significant impacts if the large ships do not begin any voyages there this summer.
Thank you.
Thank you much. Any further questions for Senator Keel? I do not see any at this time, so I'm going to go ahead and open the bill up for public testimony. Public testimony is officially open, and it looks like we've got one gentleman. Andrew Cremata, can you please state your name, your affiliation, and go ahead and give your testimony?
Andrew Cremata, Mayor of Skagway, Alaska. Thank you, committee members. I'm here to voice our support for SJR 9. As stated, the PVSA presents a significant hurdle, primary hurdle to cruises resuming their ability to make visits to our community here in Skagway in 2021, and that's a big deal. When we lost cruise ships in the 2020 season, it was to the tune of $160 million a year in lost revenue for our local businesses and 15 months without revenue. The loss of the 2021 season will mean 2.5 years without revenue, and we do not have the substantial CARES Act money nor the other safety nets that we were able to put in place with our own sales tax reserves here in Skagway. So it is a significantly dire situation at the moment, and we're trying to exhaust all avenues to figure out a way to survive in a scenario where we lose cruise ships. Obviously, this, you know, primary first step to, you know, figure out a workaround for the PVSA is essential. If we can get cruise ships here in July, August, September, it will have a dramatic impact on local businesses and help them to survive and help us to survive as a community. It's also not going to have revenue for up to 2.5 years in the best case scenario. So we have currently, I've sent a letter in support of this, sent letters to a federal delegation, had a meeting with our senators a week and a half ago. So we have local, state, and federal all working together to solve this problem. So I encourage you to support it as well. The only backup plan we really have in place in a scenario like this here is trying to encourage independent traffic over our border. Our border is closed too, for a lot of the same reasons that cruise ships can't go into Canada at the moment. So this is essential for us, and I certainly can't speak for other port communities, but I can advocate for them because we have meetings biweekly, and the other port communities are significantly impacted as well. Communities like Denali Borough are impacted in the same way we are because they are also so reliant on cruise ship traffic, even though they're in a far different location in the state. So I thank you for your time, and I appreciate you putting your efforts into helping us resolve this problem. Have a good day.
Thank you very much, Mayor. I might have some questions from the committee here. Representative Hannon has a question for you, Mayor.
Thank you, Chairman Hopkins. Hello, Mayor Kermada. You gave us a statistic about a loss of revenue in 2020, but you didn't tell us out of your total revenue, and I think that really helps frame and underscore your point. So you lost $160,000, but how much is your usual revenue on an annual basis?
$160 million. So, you know, the impact to us in 2020, I mean, it was almost, you know, our entire income as a community. Sales tax revenues were negligible. We even had a waiver on property tax for businesses that couldn't afford to pay property tax, property owners that couldn't afford to pay property tax. We're going into 2021 budget cycle with 6% revenue projected. That's wildly optimistic, but we are still fortunately in a position where we have sales tax revenues, but it does show the significance of the impact that it's pretty much everything, 96 to 98% of our revenue here locally.
Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you very much. And Mayor, I'm familiar with the Denali Borough situation, and it is fairly similar, where over 90% of their revenue comes from bed tax up there in Glitter Gulch, and most of those passengers who come up are, in fact, cruise passengers who hop on the train and make their way up to the interior north of the range. So they share that as well. Did you have a similar problem with the CARES and CRISA allocations, that where it was based on population size and not on impact, so that you, or loss of revenue impact, so you were in a similar boat as Denali?
Very similar. We did receive CARES Act money, and, you know, because it was nowhere near the amount of money that we had lost, obviously, we decided to use CARES Act money and put it back into the hands of residents. And then we created our own grant program for local businesses out of sales tax reserves here locally, because there just wasn't enough money to support all the things we needed to out of CARES Act. You look at this next stimulus that's coming up, and this stimulus package, there's no money in it unless there are significant allocations from the state that will come to a community like Skagway, a tiny fraction of what we were able to get in the CARES Act money. So this is a big deal for us. I've said it before, and I'm not being overly dramatic when I say it. This is a matter of survival for this community. People are already moving away, and businesses are going to fail. And So we're just trying to figure out how we're going to make it to 2022 and still have a community here.
Thank you very much, Mayor. I hope that this can urge Congress's action a little bit and we can protect that community because Skagway is an absolutely beautiful town. Any other questions for the mayor? Seeing none, thank you very much, Mayor. I appreciate your time and all of your hard work for your community there. We do not have anybody else on public testimony at this time, so public testimony is closed. At this point, I would entertain a motion to move the bill from committee.
Chair Hopkins, this is Rep. Hannon. I move to advance Senate Joint Resolution 9, version 32-LS0503/I from committee with attached individual recommendation and attached zero fiscal note.
Is there any objection? Seeing none, we'll go at ease as we sign the committee report. Thank you. A note for scheduling this week. Welcome back to the House Transportation Committee. We're going to be canceling our scheduled meetings on Thursday and Saturday, just as a treat, because the weather's going to be nice, I promise. Our next meeting will be on Tuesday, March 30th at 1 p.m. Please note we're going to be returning to our 1 p.m. time. Are there any questions from the committee? Not seeing any. As there's no further business before us today, we're going to go ahead and adjourn this committee at 2:09 in the p.m. Thanks, everybody.